Today, the Come FM, we're going to, we had Mary and Joseph from Gila, and then the shepherds, the wise men, however many of them there were, Andy, last week. And today we're going to think about Jesus. Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Pete's laughing already. I've said this before, I know, at Christmases in the past, but you know when you see those posters that say that the reason for the season is Jesus, those posters are wrong. Those posters are not true. I support the sentiment behind it, but the phrase is wrong. For you are the reason for the season. You are. You're the reason for Christmas. For if it wasn't for you, Jesus wouldn't have come. And if Jesus hadn't have come, there would be no Christmas. Jesus came at Christmas time, but the reason that he came was to save you. To save you, to save your soul, to restore you to his presence, to bring you into the family of God, to give you a place in heaven, in eternity with him, literally forever. The reason for all of this is you. God could see the mess that we were in and the mess that we are in, the product of the heart setting ignorance to God, and so sent a saviour, sent Jesus. The reason for all this is you. He could see our eternity stretching out before us, separate from himself, with no mediator, and living in a continual death because of our sin, and so sent a saviour. Motivated by love and a desire to save us from everything that we deserve. We know what we deserve for our sin. We know that we deserve, the wages of sin is death. We know that we deserve that punishment, that consequence from God because of the sin in our lives. And so Christ sent a saviour. God sent a saviour, Jesus Christ, to save us. The reason is you. But the season most definitely belongs to Jesus. I had a conversation with one person here already a few weeks ago about the kind of supposedly progressive culture that we are living, that what so much wants to take Christ out of Christmas, to reduce Christmas to lights, to family, to the giving and receiving of gifts. All those things are nice and they're not necessarily wrong, but Christmas is about Jesus Christ. It just is. I'm looking forward to my Christmas dinner. Anyone else looking forward to their Christmas dinner? But when it's all been eaten, when you've eaten it all, at the end of the day, it was just a fancy roast dinner, wasn't it? It was. Meat, vegetables, gravy and trimmings, just a fancy roast dinner. It's what it is. Christmas is about Jesus. And he is worth every single bit of attention that he gets and a whole lot more besides. The shepherds went and they worshipped him. The wise men, they went and they worshipped him. His parents, well, they loved him. Come, let us adore him. You can read of a man called Simeon in Luke chapter 2, and he, on seeing Jesus, praised God for him, for he knew, he absolutely knew, that the Saviour had finally come. Jesus is the one-of-a-kind Saviour of the world, and he is out-of-the-box extraordinary. We come and we worship Jesus. Oh, come, let us adore him. We're going to read this morning from a well-known nativity passage in Hebrews chapter 1. Not so much nativity, but it's all about Jesus. It might come up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 1. And if you want to follow along on the screen or in front of you, that's great. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, and today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. Again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, and you will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve the one who will inherit salvation? Make no mistake, the baby in Bethlehem is God's son, the heir of all things, the creator of the universe. How good is he? Very, very. It's good, isn't it? Very. How good is he? The heir of all things, the creator of the universe, became the savior, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. He came for you and he came for me. How good is Jesus? He's better than good, isn't he? He's better than very good. Jesus is amazing. He's incredible, extraordinary. Jesus is every superlative that we can possibly think of and a whole lot more. He's beautiful, he's lavish, he's generous, he's humbling, he's wonderful and utterly life-changing. It's all about Jesus because he's wonderful, he's extraordinary, he's magnificent. I had a phone call in the office a couple of weeks ago and it went something like this. Hello, is that Steve Crosthwaite? Right, yes, I replied. This is the office of Bradley Thomas MP, which is the MP for Bromsgrove. He would like to arrange to come and meet with you. When might you be available? Now, I have arranged that meeting, and I don't mind for a moment that it was his secretary making the appointment. But how much more remarkable then is it that the Son of God, the heir of all things, the creator of the universe, came himself. He came himself. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says that God has spoken to us lots of times. Sometimes people say, oh, I've never heard God speak to me. Open your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and just start reading. God will speak to you lots and lots and lots. God has spoken to us many times, but this time with his son. This time through Jesus, this time with his son, this time with the person who embodies him, who represents him exactly. The son, says in verse 3, is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact representation of his being. For Jesus, the Son of God, is exactly like God, for he himself is God. And he came for us. He came himself to be with us, to die for us. How amazing is Jesus? A few years ago, I was in Spain. I'd taken a bunch of young people when we lived in Scotland over to Spain. They'd won the World Cup, and they were parading the trophy, the World Cup trophy, around the villages in rural Spain. And so we went. I mean, it's as close as I'm ever going to get. And so we went. And I've got a picture somewhere at home with my hands on the World Cup. Only I found out later that it wasn't the World Cup. It was a replica. It looked, as far as I could tell, not that I'd ever seen it close up before, it looked exactly the same, but it didn't have the same value. It didn't have anywhere near the same value. And so therefore it didn't matter that queues of people put their sweaty hands on it. But yet Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He's not a replica. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He's God himself, Son incarnate. Jesus is absolutely extraordinary. The reason that he came is you, but the season belongs to him, for he is magnificent. He is everything and more. He came, though, vulnerable. The Son of God, the heir of all things, the one who just spoke and created the world just by his words, became vulnerable, wrapped in cloth and put in a manger of straw. Came to unmarried parents, crying, puking, pooing, as any baby has ever done and ever will do. The Son of God, no less, became vulnerable as a baby for you. I mean, he is just worthy of all of our worship, of all of our everything, all of our heart and our time and our attention, our everything. But given that he came for us, he came to be with us, that's just like another level of mind-blowing, isn't it? He is amazing, and yet he came for us. The Son of God became flesh and lived amongst us. The power and creativity behind the universe, now as vulnerable as you could possibly imagine, as a baby. A baby. He says that he sustains everything by his word. You know the account of Jesus standing in a boat and telling the storm to be still. So we know the power just of his words. And so when it says that he sustains everything by his word, that's not just kind of hyperbole and grandstanding. This is literally who Jesus is. This is literally the power that he has, that he can hold everything just by his word. For the teachers in the room, do you have a look or a word where you know they just go, Pete's nodding. He hopes it's still effective anyway. But the power of the word of Jesus. Such is his magnificence. Now, I know this is Christmas time, and we're not in the first Christmas, though, and we're in post-ascension. So let's not pretend too much, and let's not worry about the spoilers, because we also read in verse 3 of Hebrews 1, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down. Gilles helpfully reminded us over and over that you can't separate Easter from Christmas. Jesus, the baby, became Jesus on the cross. You can't separate those two things. He came as a baby, so as to be nailed to a cross, dying in our place, taking the sins of the world upon his shoulders. You are the reason for this particular glorious, wonderful season of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And now he's sat down at the right hand of the Father. Finished, completed, extraordinary. Those of you that are cooking Christmas dinner on Wednesday, there'll come that point where I'll no doubt you'll sit down and just go, finished. I've done it and they've eaten it. Jesus paid the price. Everything is done, complete. Sat down at the right hand of the Father. He has provided purification for sins. And note the word provided. It's important because the purification for sins has not automatically been given to anybody. It's not automatically given to you, but there is provision for it. It's there if you want it. It's there if you choose to go and benefit from that. There is a provision available for it because of Jesus. He has made it available because of who he is, because he is so great, because he is so generous and sacrificial, because he is so loving, he has made what is out of reach available for all of us. I can't tell you, I can't go around the room and go, yes, 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 no, no, no. I can't do that to tell you whether you've been forgiven by God. But what I can tell you is that every single person in the room, Jesus has made the provision for you to be forgiven. He is offering every single person here forgiveness from God. And life eternal, redeemed, restored, forgiven, set free. No more guilt, no more shame. The provision is there. For Jesus himself has come for you. Jesus himself died on a cross for you. He has done everything. It's just there. Provided, complete. He sat down. Everything is done. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to say thank you? Are you going to take in it? Are you going to live in the good of it? Are you going to praise him for it? You have to take what has been provided in order to benefit from its sacrifice. We're going to be, provided with a Christmas dinner on Wednesday. You're not just going to sit and look at it. Please don't take a photo and put it on. But you're not just going to sit and look at it. You're going to eat it. You're going to eat it. You're going to benefit from what's been put in front of you in the same way we need to benefit from the forgiveness that's been put in front of us through the life and the death of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And now he is sat down at the right hand of the Father. The right hand of the Father is the position that the disciples were fighting over in Mark 10. They all wanted to sit there. Can I sit at your right hand? Jesus told them they had no idea what they were asking for. Because he says, look, that place is reserved for the one who has been prepared for it. Jesus has been prepared for this. Sent, lived holy, never sinned. Died, rose again, forgiven us, sat down, finished. That place is reserved for Jesus. The one who was going to take the cup, appointed to his death. And now Jesus is sat there, for he alone could sit there. How amazing is Jesus? How good and wonderful is he? Why does this matter? Okay, it matters because Jesus is the one. Jesus is the special one, the chosen one, the sacrificial one. He is the lion and the lamb, the King, Lord, Savior of the world. How good and wonderful is Jesus? He is the one that the shepherds found wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, Luke 2, verse 12. It's him. It's him. Visiting the family of any newborn baby is special, isn't it? It's always special. But this would have been absolutely out of the world extraordinary, for this is Jesus. The shepherds on the hillside, they'd seen the sky light up with angels. The Savior has been born. Glory to God in the highest. I mean, that would have blown their socks off. But that was nothing in comparison to what they saw lying in a manger. For they saw the Savior of the world. And they worshipped him. Maybe their mouths were agaze and their eyes open like saucers at the sight of all these angels. But they didn't worship them. They worshipped the baby in a manger. They worship the special one, the chosen one, the one that had been prepared, the lion and the lamb, the one who was coming just to save the world. Visiting any baby is special, but visiting Jesus, wow. This is Emmanuel. God is with us. Not just the Son, but God the Son, and much, much, much superior to the angels. Hebrews 1, verse 4. Much superior. Now, I think meeting an angel would be pretty special, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty cool. If an angel rocked up in your house this afternoon, that'd be pretty special. I imagine you'd want to tell everyone the moment that you saw them, I met an angel. Be like, wow, what's it like? But meeting Jesus is better than that. For he is much better than any of those. Verse 8 says he has an everlasting throne, and justice will be the scepter. The scepter means like a power, okay? And so justice is the power of the kingdom, like a hallmark stamp that God is just. God is just. He has been set above his companions. He is without equal, glorious and wonderful. Remaining the same, never changing, unending and magnificent. The angels that wowed young Mary and Joseph and blew the socks off the shepherds, filling the skies with wonder, are yet no comparison to Jesus. For he is wonderful, amazing, extraordinary. There is no comparison to Jesus. Such is his incredible, peerless power and possession. This is our God. This is our God. See, this is remarkable. You can read in Luke chapter 1 where Mary, a pregnant Mary, meets a pregnant Elizabeth, and John the Baptist leaps for joy in the womb. The angels sang of his glory in Luke 2. The shepherds praised God. The wise men worshipped in Matthew 2. Simeon praised God for the gift of the Messiah. And Anna gave thanks to God for the Redeemer had come. For Jesus is wonderful, isn't he? Everyone that hears about him, everyone that ever met him, praised him, glorified him, worshipped him, sang of his goodness and his greatness. For Jesus, he's wonderful. He's majestic. He's extraordinary. He's powerful and gracious. He's kind. He's holy. He is the Savior of the world. That's an amen, isn't it? That's a hallelujah. How good is Jesus? He's wonderful, majestic, extraordinary, powerful, gracious, kind, holy, the Savior of the world. There's a famous preacher, a much greater preacher than me, who said, I wish I could describe him to you. I wish I could describe just how good and wonderful Jesus is. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this Advent season. Lord, this kind of looking forward, this expectation, this longing and hoping for the Saviour to come. Father, I thank you that we've been reminded over the last few weeks of Mary and Joseph and them receiving the news, this wonderful news, this news that would have scared them and frightened them, but that they were to be the parents to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hearing about the shepherds on the hillside and the angels filling the sky, heralding great news that the Saviour has been born. The wise men come in to follow the star to go and see the King that had been born. But yet all of those things point to the wonder and the greatness of Jesus. Our wonderful, wonderful, incredible, mighty and glorious Saviour. Father, I pray that we would sing and delight and declare in the goodness and the greatness of who you are. Father, I thank you that you have provided for us a means of salvation by coming and being the creator of the universe, but yet wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, to live a life of where they chased you and laughed at you and spat upon you, where they whipped you and nailed you to a cross, but yet you did not sin or rebel. Where ultimately you gave your life for us so as to save us and restore us. You rose again victorious that we may be with you forever. Father, we thank you for the wonderful provision of salvation, your restoration plan in person form, the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that we would not just kind of hear that, we would not just look at that, we would not just consider that, but that we would take that and receive that to our hearts and we would live in the good of that. Restored, forgiven, one with you forever. That we would kind of see and live in the good of everything that you are, for we would know you and call you brother. Our Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you saw us and so came for us. But that you came for us. Glorious, wonderful, majestic, wonderful Saviour. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Amen.